Father, we thank you for another opportunity to study your word and take things now and that we learn and cause them to be a source of blessing and that they would glorify you and that we could take them out into the world and apply them to our lives and we would benefit by your truth. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, last Tuesday, we started in Exodus 17, verse 1, talking about the children of Israel as they had been delivered by God's miraculous deliverance through the Red Sea, and the big miracle there that they had experienced to walk through the, you know, and with all their children and their livestock on dry land as the sea opened, and they saw this big miracle, and then they had wandered through the desert and arrived at a place called Rephidim, and there was no water there, and it was the first big test for the Israelites after the Red Sea, and how this relates to us with our lives today, that the Lord has done the greater thing, providing our salvation through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, and so he's done the greatest thing. Now can we trust him with the lesser things, the everyday problems of life? And that was the study. And so we looked in Exodus 17, and we saw that they started to complain and quarrel with Moses. Say, have you brought us out through the desert to just let us die of thirst? And we studied how Moses had went to the Lord and asked, what shall I do with these people? You know, they'd be ready to stone me, the word says. Well, there was an application for the children of Israel to either trust the Lord or become losers and not apply anything they have learned. And the application for us also is, after the Lord's saved us, can we apply his word to help us in our daily walk? Now we already studied again last Tuesday about our eternal fellowship with the Lord. Again, here's the point of salvation right here, point when we believed in Jesus Christ, and as we believe, we're put in the top circle, which is eternal fellowship with Lord. This is the And then we talk about the production of our life, and this is the power sphere where we go in or out depending on whether we sin or not, and to get back in is just 1 John 1:9. And so this is where we're at. We're totally secure here. There's nothing that we could do to get out of here. The Lord is positionally, we're righteous with the other 40 things that we receive at the point of salvation. So this is what the whole Christian way of life is right here. Whether we're going to be productive or whether we're going to be losers in the angelic conflict and spend our life out here. So this is where we're at, the bottom circle. And 1 John 1:9 is how we remain in the power sphere, or get back into the power sphere, through the filling of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we're in the power of spirit, we produce divine good. Outside, it's human good. Human good was rejected at the cross. Human good is the basis of the unbeliever's condemnation, because all sins were paid for by Jesus Christ. Now, what we talked about last week was also distractions, things to take ourselves off the, or get us distracted from the Christian way of life, of doing, being a productive believer. Anything in life. I talked last night about, or last Tuesday, about my truck. My truck that I've been working on. I love to work on this truck, and I spend a lot of time on it every chance I get. But if I was to start cutting Bible class to work on this truck would become an idol. It's something that I would be putting in front of God, and how something like that would become a curse instead of a source of enjoyment. And this goes to everything in life that you would put ahead of the Word of God. It's the same thing as the Israelites using wood or stone and worshiping these idols that don't see and they don't hear. So we don't want to ignore the only thing that gives us happiness in this life, and that's the Word of God through the filling of the Holy Spirit. So we want to enter into this Sabbath, is what the Old Testament called, or the rest. We want to wait on the Lord for all His promises that He has for us in Scripture. God completely solved the problem for us, again on the cross, with our salvation. Now we just have to trust Him for the small things. We'll glorify Him and we'll fulfill our responsibilities as an ambassador for the Lord in the Christian walk. So that's kind of a review of last Sunday of the study in the faith rest life is what we're talking about. And the diagram showed, the top circle were the partakers of the divine nature of the Lord in our in positional truth through our belief in Jesus Christ. And what I want to open to this evening, just to start out the class, that's kind of going to work into Memory Makers program is 2 Peter chapter 1. And this is all kind of a just on the outside of what our study is in Exodus 17 and Numbers 20 on the children of Israel. Peter chapter 1. Verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers. Oh, wait a second, that's 1 Peter. I did this earlier today too. All right. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtain like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. So what we're going to talk about is grace and peace being multiplied. Multiplied by what? By the knowledge. This is what we're here for in Bible classes, to increase our knowledge of the Word of God. Without the Word of God, we can't apply His Word to any problems that we have or face in life. If a problem arrives and we have nothing to call back on, nothing for the Holy Spirit to bring into our mind that we can apply to the problem, then we're not going to be able to handle these problems we have in life. This knowledge is doctrine understood and believed. Grace is multiplied through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. Knowledge is spiritual growth. This is where we want to be in our Christian life. Now, Gene Cunningham had a book that he printed out a year or two ago, maybe longer than that, but it was given to us a couple of years ago. It's the Basics book, the blue-covered book. And I wanted to read a section of it in chapter 4 on the... as Paul, it's the perspective of grace, and Paul is speaking, and how what spiritual growth does to our self-image, what we think of ourselves, and how we think of God as we grow. And this is a great section of the book that I wanted to read because it really had an impact on me. And it starts out as we... that grace did something to Paul's self-image. And when he wrote in the Corinthians in about AD 59, Paul called himself the least of all the apostles. 4 years later, he had grown to the point that he saw himself as less than the least of all the saints. And that was Ephesians 3:8. And then Ephesians 3:8 says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable or the inexhaustible riches of Christ?" And that's what the Bible is. It's inexhaustible. We can never read everything that the Lord has for it. You read through it once, you read through it again, you find something that you didn't see before, and you can live your whole Christian life 50 years, 60, 90 years, and you'll never you'll never see everything the Lord has for us in the book. A few years later, and many tribulations later, writing his last letters to the young pastor Timothy, Paul declared himself to be the worst sinner in the world. 1 Timothy 1:15. The King James calls it, he's the chief of sinners. He's the, you talk about sin, I'm the head guy, is what he's talking about. So he called himself the least of all the apostles. The second point was less than the least of all the saints. And third, the worst sinner in the world. Continuing in Gene's book, as he matured in his intimacy with Jesus Christ deepened, Paul saw both God and himself more clearly. And this is what we'll find out when we study the Word, is we'll see how great God is and how rotten we are. You know, we can't do anything aside from the filling of the Holy Spirit. When we allow God to do everything in our life, we do nothing. But it's just the contrast can't even be measured. Instead of causing him to feel better about himself, growth opened Paul's eyes to the fact that his sin nature was worse than he had ever imagined. He saw with greater clarity every day the depth of his need for the grace of God. And that's what happens when we study. The more we learn, the more we try to apply doctrine, the moment we think we're starting to get good at the Christian way of life, that's when one of the stupidest things happens, that something that you'll blow it on, and you'll say to the Lord, I can't believe that I blew it at this little thing here. You know, I mean, how am I ever going to grow up to be a mature Christian if I can't even handle the smallest little details properly? You know, it's a real humbling thing as you study the Scriptures and you grow, and you've got 30 years of Bible teaching under your belt, and then you fail on all these stupid little things. But it did happen to the biggies in the Bible too, so you can't be too hard on yourself. But you know, the whole purpose of the Word is for us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and to do what He would have us to do. And that's why we study, and that's why we want to keep short accounts. That's why we want to remain filled with the Spirit so we can be productive in the Christian way of life. So let's continue in 2 Peter 1, verse 3. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us by his glory and virtue or excellence, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And just like it says here, exceeding great and precious promises that you might be partakers. These, and this is what it's in the book. There's 7,000 promises given in Scripture to the church age believer. These are promises for us in time. They're only used in time. In eternity, there's other promises, you know, having a resurrection body and many others. But there's 7,000 promises in Scriptures for us to claim in time for all our problems. Verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. This is the old King James again. It's probably why it doesn't match anything you have. Quite a bit different. I suppose the pastor uses the New King James, right? And so, but this is like, but I love it. It's just, I like using it. And if I run into a weird word, I'll just look it up in the New American Standard. And then I'll just go back to the antique Bible. So, verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you have doctrine and residency and you're applying it to your life on a consistent basis and stuff, then you'll be able to you won't be barren like it says in the word. Now barren is like there's never going to be any possibility of life. You're just going to be a loser. You're going to be a, you know, in the angelic conflict, you're going to be a big zero, and that's not what none of us want to be, or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. This is, again, the Christian way of life. As long as we're in the power sphere, as long as we're filled with the Spirit, we're going to do what the Lord wants us. We're not going to have a problem with the failures. Failures outside of the power sphere where we don't want to be. All right. Now, this is what we've been studying last Tuesday night and tonight. We're talking about mixing God's promises with faith for the application of His Word and being ambassadors and glorifying God. This is where we have peace and we have joy in the Christian way of life. To stand on the promises, to enter into that Sabbath or rest, what we've been talking about. Now, the Holy Spirit can only use what we have in residency. Again, if you run into a problem, the Holy Spirit brings to mind this, what you've studied, what you've understood and believed, or you can apply it to any particular problem you have in life. And this is where I want to break off to study in 1 Peter and go into the Memory Makers program, because I was so impressed with this program of what it's going to be teaching our young kids and what it should be teaching us at the same time. What we're supposed to be learning all along is the Word. Our pastor has spent 30 years in this pulpit, 45 in the ministry, not just flapping his jaws just to make noise. It's because he loves the Lord and he loves the Word, and he wants us to learn and have this joy and peace that we have in the Scripture. And the only way you can get it is by learning what the Lord has for us and applying it, knowing these promises, knowing these verses. That's what this memory stuff is all about. If you just fill your notebook full of notes, never open it again, or never apply anything that you learn in Bible class, you'll go out these doors, and this is just like an emotional high or something. You forget everything when you walk out into the real world of where the application really is in this life. Because you've forgotten everything you learned here. And this is not what's supposed to happen. We're supposed to take these words, these promises, memorize them, believe on them, have rest and peace and joy in our promises. Very important. So I wanted to start with the last point of the promise book. The last thing that Bobby put in here, the ultimate prize is being able to recall and apply God's Word on demand to life situations. This is exactly what we're studying in the faith rest technique. You can faith rest all these promises that God has given you, no matter what circumstance comes in life, no matter what kind of testing pressure you have, the means given in Scripture to handle the situation, no matter what it is, no matter how hard, no matter how difficult, we have the answers in the book. That's why we come to class. That's why we learn. That's why we want to be here. It's because this is where the answer to life is. It's not in things or things that we think will make us happy. It's this. The Word of God is most important. The Lord says He puts His Word above His name. It's so important. The second to the last point was, winners are those who have retained God's Word in their souls. And again, this is what we're doing here, is in memory. That's what Bobby has going on here that I like so much. I didn't understand the part that the kids have to get some kind of okay from their parents. Like there must be some legal issue or something there. But what parent would not want his kid to be involved in this program to learn God's Word that they will take and have for life, you know? But there must be some reason it's in there, right, Bobby? Beyond me, just all right.
Just so we know, everybody.
Okay, I thought maybe because there was a a big prize at the end, that the parent would think this is gambling, and that's not. Under the page called Especially for Parents, it says, I also understand that my child will need guidance and encouragement to learn God's Word for a lifetime. Well, what parent would not want to give that to his kid anyway on a daily basis? Anybody that ever listens to Dr. Laura has got this down pat, that the child is most important. All right, the mission. The Word of God is alive and powerful, it says. In Hebrews 4:12 is the verse there. We wish to move our students past the memorize, recite, forget cycle. Well, that's what we want to do here tonight too, as we study the faith rest life. As we want to move past the just hear and forget. We want to hear and retain. We want to take the Word, apply it consistently. This is where we become the best of in our Christian life, where we can be the most like Christ and apply it to all situations. Objectives. Short term. Children must be able to recite all 23 verses at once at the end of the game. Now just imagine when these kids come before the congregation in August 27th or whenever it is, and they've recited, and I bet there's going to be a pile of kids that have memorized all 23 verses that can do it. Now we'll probably feel like a real jackass if these kids have learned all these verses and we can't even remember John 3:16, or we don't even know if John 3:16 is in the Old Testament or the New Testament, you know. But that's what evolved. You take 23 verses, and I've heard some of the verses. These are all pertinent. They've been picked by our pastor. They're verses that you can take and witness to people with. You can apply them to your daily walk, your faith rest life, as situations arise, to be a winner in the angelic conflict. Promote interaction between children and adults, adult members of the congregation, which is also a great point. You know, the kids want to be able to approach us not as some unapproachable, mean ogre, but someone that they can look up to and trust, somebody that's been there, somebody that can tell them the, you know. Anyway, long term, encourage Westside Bible Church prep school students to memorize and retain scripture for a lifetime. This is so good. I love this. It's just have these verses just in, you know, cut into your brain, just engraved there to never lose. I would imagine everybody here knows the most widely used verse in the Bible, John 3:16. How could you ever forget it? You know, well, there's a lot more verses in there that are equally as important and to be applied on the daily walk. Down here under Memory Makers in a Nutshell, I know none of you have this with you, but when you take it home and read it, you can see where I was coming from. Time will be dedicated during each prep school class, Sundays and weeknights, for reviewing newly assigned and previously assigned verses. Now, this is real important, because if you don't use these verses that you're trying to memorize, if you don't continually form them in your mind and recite them, you will forget them. You'll forget what you don't use. A lot of times when I'm at work, when I'm waiting for the carpenters to catch up with the trusses I've been swinging at them, I'll go through verses that I'm trying to memorize, and I'll take the little tracks that we have here, Gary also printed up a little blue card that has the essence of God, or a white card, and it shows all the essence of God and all different ones is love and eternal life and righteousness, and I'll try to memorize the verses to go with each one of those verses, where to find them and stuff. It's a thing you would just want to know, because it's the thing you would apply if you have a doubting about God and His faithfulness or His love or stuff, or you're trying to explain to somebody about God's love and you want to be able to find it in the Bible. You can show them, you can show your kids, you can be a good witness. You could get peace and joy out of reciting God's word because it's fun. It should be the most important thing in your life. So when we learn things in Bible class, when we take notes on them and stuff, it's because I know taking notes helps us sometimes to concentrate more on what's being said. It would be easier to retain, and then you would have it written down to where you can find these verses in the Bible, the references. Bobby and I were talking about after Communion Sunday about the verses, and she's like, me and everybody else, you know a lot of verses, but you don't know the address. You know, you can quote some verses, but you don't know where it's found. I mean, I made a mistake just the other day. I thought a verse was in Psalms, and it was in 1 John. I mean, it was quite a ways away, but I found it in the concordance. So. All right, under eligibility, the parent consent form was sent home with each child describing the Memory Makers program and the rules they must adhere to in order to play. These rules are important because it teaches the kids the chain of command, the rules of the game, God's protocol. God's protocol system shows the exactness of procedure that the Lord wants us to follow. He has it down, and it's what every believer should do. In fact, I'll read God's protocol system again. God's protocol system is God's rigid, long-established code prescribing complete deference to superior rank, which is authority orientation, and strict adherence to due order of precedence, coupled with precisely correct procedure. Priests in the Old Testament, before they went into the Holy of Holies, they wanted to make sure they've done everything exactly right. It's the same way in the New Testament. God doesn't vary, and he says, he just didn't say, well, he tried, it's good enough. No, it's got to be just right. It's got to be the way God wants it to do, wants it done, that's it. But we want to teach these kids the chain of command, the rules, the protocol God has. Children guidelines. Children would be instructed on the proper manners involved in approaching adults. Because, you know, each one of us know what it's like having some kid come up while you're talking and start yanking on your pants or bugging, hey, you know. Jumping up and down like they got to go to the bathroom or something. So the first point was, do not interrupt adults while they're in conversation with others. You know how annoying it is when a kid comes up and starts yelling and stuff, you know? I mean, what if they come up and kick you in the shin or something and say, hey, will you help me with my memory verse? And you just grab them by the neck and you say, I'll give you a memory verse. And you take a... go home and memorize this, and you take a... I felt Proverbs 22:15 on there, and you tell them, have your parents read this to you, which says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. There's a memory verse. Second point, ask courteously for memory maker's help. Good example of this request would be, Mrs. Akers, would you please listen to my Bible verse? And it's the way it should be done. The whole course is so good. Be sure that, you know, you get your thank you in mind. I don't know how many of you read this, but it's really well thought out. Respond kindly when the child has been successful in meeting the program requirements. What you would do is you'd hold a card, and they would say, have the verse, John 3:16, and the reference on the front. I think maybe that's the way it's going to go. And then it has the verse on the back, and you read as they recite it. You know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and they have to do it correctly. And I don't know what is probably going to be in the New American Standard, I suppose. You know, so you don't want to say to the kid, well, you know, you didn't say it in the King James Version, and that's the only authorized version because the Apostle Paul used it, you know, or some stupid thing like that, and then the kid's going to feel bad and. So, you know, you want to cooperate with the way this the rules are for this memory makers. And if the kid blows the verse, you know, you want to encourage him to do it right. You don't want to say, well, you stinking idiot. You know, I had that verse memorized when I was half your age. Under penalties, violation of any rule of the game will result in disqualification. And I like this point because it teaches the kids there are consequences to their action. And it's, you know, a lot of things are, in a, especially in a public school, they're overlooked. They graduate kids and they can't even read their own T-shirt. But in the, when they get into the real world, when they get into the real world and they go to work for somebody like Gary Grimes is not going to put up with incompetence or, you know. It's a lot different out there in the real world. Again, long-term benefits. Winners are to have retained God's word in their souls. And the ultimate prize is being able to recall and apply God's word on demand to life's situations. That's great. Bobby, thank you for this. I think it's going to work out great. The kids, they're, are, you know, I think they're, it's going to work good because it involves us. It involves them. When they recite the verses in August, and I think there'll be plenty of kids up there that have done it, it's going to be a neat thing because these kids are the future. These kids are going to have to face probably a lot more tests than we have. They're saying that this is the new upcoming generation is probably the first generation that will not have more than their parents had. You know, that's just what they're saying. I don't know if it's true or not. So we want to talk about memorizing verses and how you'd want to do that is get this material out in front of you. Gary Grimes, when he's memorizing verses, he'll have a card, like let's say that Essence of God card, or let's say the track that we have here that has all the verses, and it's got Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8 and stuff, and you'll want to read those verses, and you'll want to memorize where the reference is and stuff for future time when you can share the gospel with somebody. You know where that verse is. You know, you understand the verse. You can use it and apply it to at least get the information out to unbelievers. And if you're not able to lead them to the saving knowledge of Christ, you would plant a seed. Someone else who knows the scriptures would water. The Holy Spirit does all the work anyway. So, but at least you have the verses, and you can gain peace and joy and complete rest in these verses because a lot of the verses that will probably be memorized, or you should be memorizing, will be promises given in the scripture. So. Another idea is to hang the Gary, you know, like I said, he hangs it from his rearview mirror in his truck. It could be hung from your mirror that you stare at every morning. Instead of looking at yourself while you're brushing your teeth, you can look at the memory verses that you pick. And it really helps. So what I've been trying to do is I'll try to write down a whole mess of verses. I've been trying to read a chapter of Proverbs every day of the month, 31 chapters of Proverbs, 31 days in a month normally. I'll try to pick out the best verse of the Proverbs and memorize that. Pretty soon you have 31 verses memorized out of Proverbs. There's a lot of great verses in Proverbs. We'll look at some here later on. But what you do is you review those ones, and you start the first day, and you'll say Proverbs 1:7 or Proverbs 2:6 and 3, you know, Proverbs 3, and just go down the list, and you keep them fresh in your mind and stuff because it's so much better to do this, to learn God's word, memorize and apply it, than sitting on your rear end watching Oprah or some other worthless, you know, thing. So, I mean, if you go down Grand Avenue when you're going to work and you have all those lights that last forever, it's a great time there, where you're sitting waiting for the train to go by that's got 100 cars on it. You know, use this time to memorize verses. Gary Horton uses a system of memorizing by association. And Gary Horton has a lot of artifacts and a lot of things in his house. And as you walk through his house, down the hallway, into the bedroom, wherever in his house, everything that he sees has a memory verse attached to it. Bobby and I were talking about this again on Sunday, how you would take an object in your house because it reminds you of some verse or some scripture that you would like to memorize because it's pertinent. And so, you know, a lamp, you know, when you turn it upside down, you could have the verse, if you can't remember what it was, right there where it says, rest easy at the Holiday Inn, you could put the verse that you're trying to memorize. You know? Now, I just give a couple of illustrations here for like a lamp. Psalm 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Great promise verse. Verse would be nice to memorize. I haven't memorized it yet. James 1:17, Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Good verse that is given on the essence of God, of God's immutability. And so this is one of the verses you would memorize if you're trying to memorize verses that go with God's essence. How about your front door or your house? Revelation 3:20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. It's a great fellowship verse. John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And your refrigerator. Now, depending on what your refrigerator is, like most of us, refrigerators got so much food in it, you can't hardly fit any more in it. We're so blessed in this country. John 10:10, A thief cometh but to kill, to steal, or destroy, but I have come that you might have life and you might have it in abundance. And that's what we see in most of our lives. The Lord's blessed us so much with abundance and stuff. This is verses that you would like to remember. Another promise. If your refrigerator is empty, and then you would want to have memorized John or Philippians 4:19 that says, My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So you don't have to worry about not having, or because the Lord's promised to supply all our needs. Another promise verse. These are things that you want to take in your daily life and situations as they arise and stuff, and you have peace and joy and rest in these verses. This is why they're in there. 7,000 promises given to us. How about your easy chair? Another promise verse, Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The rest you enjoy in your evening chair, easy chair at home. Another source of a reference to a cool Bible verse. How about your wife? What do you think of when you look at your wife? Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? How about Proverbs 21:9? It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. So depending on... Most of the time when you get home from work, you can set the stage of what it's going to be like between 2 o'clock and the whole rest of the evening because you could read what your wife's been doing all day or what kind of a state she is. And if you want to, you know, be arrogant or pompous or something, then you can ruin the whole evening just by the wrong couple words. Another verse to memorize would be... Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up strife or anger. Proverbs 15:1. Another one for your wife, Proverbs 31:28. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, he praiseth her. Proverbs 31:28. Or for that other off day, Proverbs 27:15. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Proverbs 31:29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Another great verse. And then Proverbs 21:19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious woman and an angry woman. So, but then again, here's another one. Proverbs 31:30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Another great verse. How about a verse about your husband? What do you think about when your husband is? Not near as many verses on husbands that I could find. But Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And you know, Psalm 37:23, 24, and 25 are all great verses, great promise verses. 24 says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. You know, this is just the grace of our Lord, his faithfulness, his mercy. Verse 25 says, David says, I have been young and am now old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Another good promise verse. Ladies, for those off days of your husband, Proverbs 26:14, as a door turneth on his hinges, so doth the slothful man on his bed. Old world couch potato verse. There's a lot better verses to memorize than these. It's just trying to make a point on probably not a good one. But the fact is, the more we know about God's Word, the more we can use it. You don't want to use verses like in Proverbs 21 to attack your wife or anything like this. It's just, you know, we're just trying to be funny or add some humor to this. But that we want to memorize these verses because we can reflect back on these. We can, like I said, problems arise. You have the verse ready to go. You have God's promise. It's just a point of, you know, like our pastor said, you could have all the 10 problem-solving devices memorized, but if you don't have the verses that go along with them, they're basically useless. You know, the power, like we taught in the witnessing class, the power, there's power in the Word, and there's peace and joy in the Word. But you want to, the doctrines that we learn here, they all have verses that go with them. Memorize those. Be a lot better off. We'll be able to trigger these verses as the time comes. Now, let's get back to the faith rest study, which we started in Exodus 17, verse 1. And I guess I got 5 minutes, but I just wanted to, I think I'll just save the rest for next time. So, because it's, I can barely start it. And, no, so let's pray. You're dismissed. Father, we thank you for this time to come together to, again, learn your word. And we thank you for all you've given us, all your promises. You promised to supply all our needs. We thank you for so great a salvation. And we just pray now that you would be with our pastor tonight. Give him strength as he recovers. Thank you for this opportunity to teach your word tonight. In Christ's name, amen.